Good morning. I'd like to add my welcome. My name's Tony. I'm one of the leaders here at Christian Life Church. And over the past 4 weeks, in our run-up to Christmas, we've been looking at the person of Jesus through the well-known prophetic scripture that foretold his coming many thousands of years before. This lovely Christmassy verse in Isaiah 9 revealed that he, the Messiah, would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We've heard how Jesus, the cornerstone upon which we can build our lives and our faith, because he brings us the wisdom and counsel of God through the Holy Spirit, that he himself is Almighty God, that he made a way for us to know God as Abba, Father, an adopted son and daughter, and that through Jesus we can receive the peace of God that is beyond our human understanding. Now this morning, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus over this Christmas season, I want to finish this short look at Jesus by going to the beginning of Isaiah's prophetic declaration of his coming, where he says this. He says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Then he says why. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, light is one of the great themes of Scripture, and also a great theme within Isaiah. And later in the Gospels, you see it as well. And Isaiah carried on this theme of light and darkness later on when he writes this. He says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end." Wow, what an incredible verse, and what an incredible promise. Throughout the Bible, the advent of God's Messiah gets associated with light. And of course, the most significant text we have about that and the birth of Christ is in Luke chapter 2, where Luke describes Jesus being born in Bethlehem, being born on a dark night. And yet one of the first things that happens in the scene is being filled with the light of a million angels, as the shepherds are told the good news that there would be a Saviour born to them. Now, if we were to pop over and look at Matthew's account, the main thing that Matthew wants to bring in connection to the birth of Christ is the Magi, the wise men, who follow a bright star, which leads them right to the place where Jesus is. However, there is also darkness, and these two are present in these scriptures. Darkness is and has from the beginning been depicted as something evil, something that has to be feared. Crimes often happen at night, and darkness often describes our reaction when we're down, when we're deep in gloom, when it looks like evil has won the day and we have lost, when we lose hope and when we lose our faith. And all of this is going on in Isaiah. Darkness, into which God promises the light will burst. And it will burst with the coming of one, the Messiah, the King, The Prince of four names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The eternal theme of light overcoming darkness, good overcoming evil, can be seen in one of the most well-known carols to be sung at Christmas, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Just listen to the words, and I'm not going to sing it. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Now we sing it every year, but the words that really caught my attention were the very last lyric I mentioned there. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. But what does that mean? Well, the text itself was written in 1868 by a guy called Philip Brooks, who was inspired when he visited Bethlehem in 1865. And he arrived in Jerusalem on Christmas Eve, travelled 6 miles south, where he was struck by the stillness and the darkness of that town. Hence the lyrics, in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. And then he wrote how the hopes and fears of all mankind are met in Jesus on that night. Hope, fear, probably the two most common emotions we have. Hope is like a light that shines in the darkness of our fears, and both were resting on Jesus that night. Now every generation has known both hope and fear. And as we get ready to celebrate this Christmas, which will be stronger? Our hopes or our fears? Now, if we look at the Christmas story found both in Luke and Matthew, we see the same thing. Two stories about the same event, but from a very different viewpoint. See, Luke's gospel deals with hope, while Matthew's gospel deals with fear. In Luke's account, we see the shepherds who were keeping watch over the sheep when they were surrounded by God's glory. And while they were afraid, the angel told them not to be, telling them good tidings of great joy, of how the Saviour, the Messiah, Christ the Lord, was born that night. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now Matthew's gospel, however, is filled with the darkness of men's fear. As King Herod, after he hears the wise men's account that the king of the Jews has been born, orders the execution of all male children in Bethlehem up to 2 years old. And Matthew describes the horror, quoting the prophet Jeremiah, who said, "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." And while Matthew's gospel shows these fears being realized, there is something greater at work, something that brings hope. And it is found in what the angel told Joseph, that the child conceived inside of Mary is from the Holy Spirit. And so what was and is happening at Christmas was something beyond all of our fears, and it was that the Holy Spirit was at work. And when the Holy Spirit is at work, powerful things happen. Consider the first church and how dark it was for the disciples. Yet into this darkness, on the Feast of Pentecost, came tongues of fire, along with the wind of the Holy Spirit, and new life was breathed into the disciples and the church was formed. So no matter how dark and dangerous the world is, no matter how afraid and disappointed we may be, and where it seems like darkness is creeping into our very souls, All we need to do is to ask Jesus, and he will send the Holy Spirit, and he will bring hope from out of our fears. Light into darkness. You see, the birth of Jesus takes place in a world of fear and a world without hope. The Jews lived under the ruthless reign of the Roman Empire. It was also a place of backstabbing and intrigue as political and religious leaders jockeyed for position, leaving the adversaries dead in the streets. Everything they had put their hope in had failed. Religion failed. Uprisings failed. Politics failed. And I think we can say the same thing about the world we live in today. We live in fear over threats of terrorism and economic collapse. We're living in the fear of COVID-19. And everything people have tried and put their hope in has failed. Religion has failed. Politics has failed. And economics has failed. And so, like the very first Christmas, we're living in a world of increasing darkness, where fear and hopelessness prevail. And yet, as these days grow short and the temperatures drop, we string up Christmas lights, wish each other a Merry Christmas, and try to assure ourselves that all is indeed well with the world. But like that very first Christmas, it isn't. I find it ironic that Christmas comes on what is considered to be the darkest day of the year. And in other cultures and religions, bonfires are even lit to try and help dispel the darkness. Now, no one's really sure when Jesus was born, but it's significant, I believe, that we celebrate his birth during this time. Because the birth of Jesus that we celebrate, light into darkness, is coming in the darkest of times. The light of the world was born in the darkest time of the year. And so the carol we looked at joyously announces deliverance from all that haunts the human predicament, that it will bring everlasting light on one of the darkest nights of the year. And it's no accident, therefore, when the angels announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, that it happened at night when the God's glory shone in the darkness. Much like the beginning of creation, as light shined in the darkness of chaos and brought order. So the birth of Jesus is in the beginning of a new creation in the midst of chaos's darkness. However, the price for our hope comes then not only from Jesus' birth that we are celebrating, but also from his death, as he took our place upon the cross and died for our sins. As the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. And through his death, Jesus, he conquered both sin and death. Now, when talking about our fears, I think most would say that their greatest fear is death. Dr. Samuel Johnson, who gave us our very first English dictionary, said that most people spend the entirety of their lives going from one diversion to another, trying not to think about their own mortality. So when we sing that all our fears are met in Jesus, it was Jesus who met and took away this fear. Jesus said, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Now, I can't read that verse without also thinking about the resurrection. How in the darkness God worked the greatest miracle of all, when it seemed as though the light had been extinguished finally and forever on the cross. No, in the darkness of the tomb, in the middle of the night, Jesus burst forth and dawn came on Easter day. Now, I know we're celebrating Christmas, we're in the Christmas season, but all the references of Easter refer to light coming out of darkness. Light dawning on a new day. The women going out as it was getting first light. Early in the morning, the light had come back. Therefore, it is in Jesus where our hopes lay. And our hopes are met as he came to open the door of eternity and heaven to all who would believe in him. See, one of the wonderful things that Jesus did was that he came to destroy the fear of death, to destroy death itself, and to give everlasting life to everyone who trusts in him. So fear has been abolished and replaced by hope, the hope that can only come from Jesus Christ. So the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, shine in your life, dispelling the darkness of fear and bringing with it the hope of his presence and eternal life in him. Before I finish, however, I want to bring a challenge to us all. In many parts of the world, as in the UK, as I've already said, December is the darkest month of the year. Short days, long nights. And so what do? We light up Christmas. We put up lights, we light up our neighbourhoods, we have thousands of lights everywhere, hanging in our houses, hanging from our roofs. We have all these amazing lights. Some people are so good at doing it that people travel miles to drive past and look at these amazing light shows that some people put up. They're lovely. They're very pretty. Lots of lights shining in the darkness. See, so far, I've talked about Jesus as the light of the world. However, the way he shines is primarily through us, through you and through me. Yes, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," but he also says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put light on a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Paul, in the Gospels, sorry, not in the Gospels, but in the New Testament, he develops this further. In Ephesians, in his letter to the Ephesus church, in verse 8 of Ephesians 5, he says, "For once you were in darkness, now you are in the light of the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes the light. That is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And also in Acts 13, in one of his sermons, Paul says this. He says, "God said to us, 'I will make you a light to the nations.'" You, plural, means all of us as followers of Jesus. We are a light to the nations, so that God's salvation may reach to the ends of the world. So yes, we could all use a little more light in our world, in our culture, in our society. Yes, there seems to be lots of darkness around at the moment, and it seems as though we're going through an especially dark time right now. What a wonderful thing then, to live lives that are light and not darkness. To let light shine into the dark places, so that good may come of it, and bring the light and love of Christ to the fore. A few weeks ago, we had the wonderful announcement from Matt Hancock, the Health Secretary, that a vaccine for COVID had been successfully manufactured. Now, I never thought I'd be quoting a member of the UK government in a message to the church. But in the brief that he gave at the time, he said these words: "We can see the candle of hope, but we must do everything we can to nurture the flame." Now, not only is our responsibility to do everything we can to reduce the spread of COVID, As followers of Christ, we must do everything we can to nurture the flame of the Spirit that is in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, like the Christmas lights that are going up all over the world, bringing light into the darkness, let's shine our lights in this dark world as followers of Jesus, so that we can bring true hope, the hope of Jesus, into the lives of those we know and meet. And let's see their fears overcome, not just this Christmas, but for all time. God bless you, and may you have a wonderful Christmas.